Bible and turn with me this morning to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. We'll begin reading in verse 1, Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. Let's all hear God's word. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And God will add his blessing to that reading from his word to our hearts for his name's sake. That we bow our heads in a moment of prayer, let's seek the Lord together. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we pray that the Spirit of God will fill thy servant. Give him freedom of expression. Grant to him understanding of thy will even while he's preaching. Give, Lord, ready ears, eager ears, to hear whatever the Lord God would have to say. Let the words that were sounded in the ears of Israel thousands of years ago sound with as much clarity and conviction and force as they did then. We pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject of courage. The Lord told Israel in verse 6 to be strong and of a good courage. They were about to enter the promised land and to take possession of it, in spite of the fact that it was promised to them by God and that he assured them that without fail he would deliver the Canaanites into their hands. It was not going to happen without a fight. In fact, without many fights, without many battles, and much, as we would say, blood, sweat, and tears. That's one of the reasons that the Lord tells them to be strong and of a good courage. But there's a second reason. Obeying God's command to go in and drive out the Canaanites meant that this was pitting a relatively untrained militia against some of the greatest military machines of that day. It is true that Israel had won recent victories against Sihon and Og, two heathen kings, Amoritish kings on the east side of Jordan, but they had never come up against, Israel hadn't, these well-trained and ruthless armies like those of the Philistines and the Hivites and the Hittites and the Assyrians. They had never had to go to war against cities that had massive walls surrounding them, walls that would appear to be impenetrable. And they had certainly never had to go into battle against giants like the Anakims, who were in the vicinity of anywhere between 9 to 13 feet tall. You can see why they needed to hear this divine exhortation. Be strong and of a good courage. All of this has, of course, a typical meaning for God's people in any day. Here's another case where we must apply 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture, all, is given by inspiration of God. And that means all Scripture is profitable for what? Doctrine. For reproof. For rebuke. For instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished, equipped unto every good work. I add to that what Paul says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, like Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope, confidence. So this encouragement from the Lord to His people to be strong and of a good courage as they are about to go into that land of Canaan and take it has a typical application to His people in every age, and that includes all of His people here today, whether you're in this building or you're visiting with us by way of webcast. We have been promised an inheritance in Christ. We have been promised a land, a place of blessing, and I'm not talking about heaven, because Canaan land does not represent heaven. There is no war in heaven. There's no fighting in heaven. Canaan is not about heaven, though many a song have been written along those lines. That's not what Canaan is about. Canaan is about a place of spiritual prosperity for the Lord's people. It's about a place in our spiritual lives where we come to enjoy more and more of what God has promised to us in Christ, more and more of spiritual blessings in this land, we can call it that, this land that flows with milk and honey. And just as it was with Israel in the literal sense, so it is with us in the spiritual sense. There is ground that God has promised us, ground that must be taken. That means there are battles that are going to have to be fought, seriously fought, if we're going to have those possessions. There are enemies, and they are strong enemies, that have to be overcome and driven out. The promise is as sure to us as it was to Israel that we can enjoy these blessings that really boggle the imagination. But it's not going to happen without a fight. And the sooner we realize that and believe that, the closer we're going to get to enjoying more of the land of blessing this side of heaven. It is not going to happen without a fight. In fact, without many fights, without many battles, and without much blood, sweat, and tears. And so the words of our text in verse 6 were not just for ancient Israel. They are for us right here, right now. Today, the Lord says to each one of you, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, neither be afraid. For he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. From this text, I want to speak on God's incessant call to courage. God's incessant call to courage. I'm going to look at three simple things. What is this courage God keeps calling us to? Second, why do we need to exercise it? And three, where do we get it? What is it? Why do we need it? Where do we get it? First, what is this courage God is constantly calling His people to exercise? In any day you want to, The call goes out, be strong and of a good courage. A New Testament version of it would be Paul, quit you like men. Be strong, good courage. Well, the word good courage in our authorized version is only one word in the Hebrew. It's not two, just one. Sometimes it's translated by the word strong or strengthen, as in Isaiah 41, verse 10. And you know that well. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. That word strengthen, that's the same word courage. Sometimes it's translated like that. But when it occurs beside a word that is very similar to it in meaning, which it actually does here in our text, it says, be strong. And normally when you come to the next word, good courage, you would say strong, but it's not be strong, strong. The meaning is be strong and courageous. Or if you can put them together, have a strong courage. What is courage? What is courage? Fundamentally, courage is an attitude. Courage is a mindset. Courage is a way of thinking. It is something that's inward. It must exercise itself, manifest itself in action, but first and foremost, courage is an attitude. The fact that it is fundamentally an attitude, it's about a mindset or a way of thinking, it is intimately connected with knowledge, which will be an important issue that we'll come to deal with when we look at where do we get this? Courage. But what I want us to see now is that we will never be courageous. We will never do this as we face the battles, have to expend the blood and the sweat and the tears. We will never do this. We will never be courageous until we first think courageously. Courage is an attitude which says, in essence, if I am faced with anything that is dangerous, that is difficult, or that is painful, I am not going to run away from it in fear, but I'm going to face it, I'm going to deal with it, and do what I need to do. Yes. That is the attitude of courage. Anything that is dangerous, difficult, or painful. I am not going to run away in fear. I am going to face it, deal with it, and do what needs to be done. Courage is about an inner strength of heart and mind that resists capitulating to fear. Our text, note it please, be strong and of a good courage. Then God says, fear not, nor be afraid of them. Be courageous. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Now, you might think there's redundancy going on, but the Holy Ghost is never redundant. Two different words there in the Hebrew. The first word does speak of that common word for fear, but that other word is an intense fear that could be translated terrorized. Don't be afraid and don't tremble with terror at what you're about to face, about these enemies. Don't be afraid. And don't dread them. And as Israel stands on the border of Canaan, facing the unknown and these mighty nations with their mighty walls and their mighty armies, God says to them, there is no need to fear them or tremble in terror before them. So be strong in courage. Do not let the difficulty of the task, do not let the dangers of the task, do not let the pain that you're going to have to deal with, do not let any of that turn you away from this land of blessing. Be of good courage. In other words, although he wasn't a Christian, Winston Churchill had it right when he said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." He had it right. The greatest obstacle to the Israelites conquering that land of Canaan and enjoying the milk and the honey was not the Philistines, not the Amorites, not the Hittites, but it was the fear of them that was going to be their greatest enemy. The fear of them. The fear of the danger. The fear of the difficulty. The fear of the pain. You see, it is fear that paralyzes us, that takes the heart out of us, that discourages us. Fear. And leaves us unable to go forward on to the promised victory. Fear. It's not so much the enemy, it's the fear of the enemy. It's not the obstacles, it's the fear of them. Because if you're not afraid of them, then they really aren't obstacles after all, are they? At least not of such a nature that you think they are unconquerable, they can't be beat, and I'm the one who's defeated. It is when we tremble in fear, when faced with something that is dangerous or difficult or painful, that we will find ourselves running away and quitting the battle and throwing in the towel in defeat. Just exactly what Israel did 40 years earlier at Kadesh Barnea. It was fear that shut everything down. Joshua and Caleb said, "We can do this. God's with us. There's no problem. Yes, they've got giants. Yes, they've got great walled cities. But guess what? We have got God with us. We have got Jehovah on our side, and they are nothing before us." But there were 10 other spies who said, "We can't do this." They were afraid, and it was their fear that became contagious and spread throughout the rest of the camp of Israel. Fear was the enemy. You see, it is courage. It is courage, this attitude, this mindset. It is courage that actually masters the fear and the trembling. I do not say that where there is courage, there will always be a lack of fear or a lack of trembling. But I am saying that where there is courage, fear and trembling will not get the upper hand, but courage will. That's what I'm saying. It is courage that keeps the heart and head from becoming frantic and giving way to despair. Courage does that. Courage enables you to go into dangerous situations, and while you are aware of the danger, and while your heart may be pounding, you will not shrink from that task in cowardice. That's right. That's courage. Courage strengthens you to do that which is difficult. It strengthens you to do that which is seemingly impossible and not give up in defeat. It's an attitude. Courage will enable you to face the pain and the hurt in order to do what needs to be done to obey God, to follow Christ. It's courage. It's what it is. Now, second question. Why do we need to exercise this courage? The simple answer to that question is because there are enemies that are trying to instill fear and dread in our hearts in order to get us to give up. And if we listen to their voices and not to the Lord's voice, we will lose courage. We will lose heart, disheartened, discouraged, and then we will head down that path that goes from discouragement to despair and from despair to defeat. That's how it works. You lose courage, you lose heart, you become discouraged. That discouragement prolongs, it will turn into despair, that there is no hope, there is no remedy, there is no answer. At that point in time, you are just a step away from being utterly defeated. When the Assyrian king Sennacherib came up against Jerusalem while Hezekiah was the king, he adopted this approach. He told the Rabshakeh, who was his military commander, to assure all of those Jews who were standing on the wall, listen, this is a done deal. Your king Hezekiah, he's telling you that your God is greater than our God. Well, let me tell you, there's been no God that's been able to stand against our might. We've gone in like a bulldozer. He wouldn't have known a bulldozer, but you would. A bulldozer just leveled them out. There's no one that's had power against us, and your God's going to be the same way. Don't listen to the voice of your king Hezekiah. You better listen to my voice if you want to live. The approach of trying to instill fear into their minds so that they never lift one weapon against them, but just quit outright. Now, it came down to a matter of whose voice they were going to listen to, Sennacherib's or Hezekiah's. It comes down to a matter of whose voice we're going to listen to, Satan's, the world's, the enemies of God, or God's voice? Which voice are you going to listen to? So, with God's people, we need to exercise courage in the first place because we are facing an enemy that wants to destroy us. It would take a good, strong courage to go up against these Canaanite people. After all, you are intruding into their land. And they're fighting for their homes. They're fighting for their wives and for their children, and they know it. It would take a good courage to go up against someone like that. And as I said, Israel was going up against armies that were made up of well-seasoned soldiers, soldiers who were vicious and ruthless in their methods of warfare. Need I make the application? We are facing a mighty, mighty enemy as well. Yes, there is a land of promise that has been given to us. Not heaven, as I said, but an experience of spiritual strength, an experience of victory in our Christian walk. And yes, the fruit of the land of Canaan. I'm talking about fruitful Christian living. I'm referring to that what the Lord Jesus Christ brings out in John chapter 15. This much fruit that can be born from our lives to the glory of God. Not just a little life that we eke out an existence as Christians and get by every day with just a little, but Jesus talked about an abundant life, a life of power. power, a life of grace, a life of power and witness with men, and power with God in prayer. That's what he set before us. That's what Paul set before the church, and that is ours. This is all part of the spiritual blessings in heavenly places given to us in Christ Jesus. That is our Canaan. It's promised to us by God. It's not a fairy tale. It's not just something that makes for good preaching. It's the reality of what God has set before us in our land of Canaan. But I have to point out, you see, there is an enemy that's arrayed against us that doesn't want us to enjoy that land. Every day of your life, you come up against that triumvirate of evil. Every day. The devil never plays at war. There are Christians that are playing with sin. They're playing with it. They think they're playing with it. They're toying about. But I'll tell you, Satan never plays. Never. He never tires. He is skilled at this warfare beyond your wildest imagination. This world is always ready to serve him, to do his bidding, and he uses all of this world's temptations, all of its deceitfulness, all of its lies to try to keep you and me from enjoying this blessing of the Lord in our lives. There is an enemy within our own flesh that is always ready to do the devil's bidding and to keep us from going forward and to keep us from taking new ground. Stagnancy is the aim. If they can't get you to go backward. Of course, there is no such thing as treading water in the Christian life. You're going backward or you're going forward. It's one or the other. If you're going to obey the Lord, you're going to make enemies whether you like it or not. Christ told us plainly, did he not? For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. That's something you can take to the bank. It's going to happen. Christ said, I've come for that reason. Light and darkness are in constant conflict. Truth and error will always be at loggerheads. And if you're going to be a friend of God, you're not going to be a friend of the world. It is your enemy. And you and I will need courage to face down these enemies. Courage to fight them, not to cave into them, not to open up the arms and say, welcome them, come on, have at me, but courage to fight them at every turn, to resist, to stand, to keep wielding the sword of the Spirit, to keep praying, obedience to the command of the King. It takes courage. But secondly, we need to exercise courage because the temptation to take the path of least resistance is ever present and powerful. Difficulties have to be overcome if we're going to possess our possession. Remember that courage is this attitude that says, in spite of the dangers and the difficulties and the pain, I'm not going to shrink away in fear, but I'm going to face them and I'm going to deal with them and do what I need to do. That's courage. But there's going to be these difficulties. The enjoyment of an ever-deepening communion with our Father, of bringing forth much fruit through abiding in Christ, as he says in John 15. the enjoyment of experiencing the Holy Spirit's power and His graces in our lives, and of obtaining those great and exceeding precious promises offered to us in the Word of the Lord. It's all of grace, but they don't come to us without difficulty. I know we would like it otherwise. We would like it for us to wake up in the morning and all of a sudden these things just be ours in abundance. But that is not how our wise and loving Heavenly Father has so ordered affairs for our Christian walk. They come to us with difficulty. And that is no statement against grace. Our flesh doesn't like difficulties and obstacles. We don't like being placed in situations that call for courage. Let's just be honest about it. We prefer the path of least resistance. We like the easier way out. Give us one of two options and we'll take the easier way. There's going to be difficulties if we're going to endure to the end. This courage is needed to be able to persevere when everything is telling you it's useless to persevere. Perseverance is not the path of ease. Christ said that we are the light of the world. Then as such, we are supposed to let our lights shine in this world and not hide them under a bushel. Now, I have to put an interpretation upon that. And you do too. It means something. There's an application that's got to be worked out. What is that saying to me about my life if I am one of those lights in this world and I'm not to put it under a bushel, but I'm supposed to let it shine? What does that mean that I am supposed to do practically in my Christian life day in and day out? That, of course, means that in this battle between the two kingdoms that's always going on, we are to bring God's truth to shine into the darkness of Satan's lies and his errors. You can't do that without speaking up. You can't do that without saying that's a lie and that is darkness. You're going to have to expose the darkness as the light shines. And it takes courage to speak up. The fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man keeps us silent. It's a difficulty. Lacking the courage to speak up. Lacking the courage to tell the gospel to some lost sinner. Takes courage. We have this temptation to take the path of ease, however, and to say nothing. And whatever excuse we give, that's all that it is an excuse. It's just an excuse. It's self-deception. We are the light of the world. We are told plainly, set it on a hill. Don't put it under a bed. Don't put it under a bushel. Let your light shine. So speak up. Spread the light. Shine. We need courage to do that. Christ also said that His people are the salt of the earth. And under that image, we have this obligation put upon us as His people to serve as a deterrent, as a deterrent to corruption spreading in this world. Because that's what salt does. Preserves. Now that poses difficulties for us. It's part of going in and possessing our possessions as part of going in and taking the land that is ours, of being all those things that we are called upon to be and to enjoy. And there is enjoyment in being salt. There's enjoyment in being light. But it doesn't come without difficulty. We know that people don't like salt rubbed into open sores. They don't like it when you face them with the truth. They don't like it when you say, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is sinful. It's contrary to the Word of God. You can very easily find yourself a whole pile of enemies stacking up when you set out to do that. And after all, we like to be liked, don't we? And we might not like the price it's going to cost us to have to stand up and speak out against something. People will turn against us, and they will hate us, and they will malign us, and seek to hurt us. But that's exactly what Christ promised would happen. And you need courage to be able to deal with that. To not run away from the difficulty or the danger or the hurt or the pain, but face it and deal with it and do what the Master says you are to do. Let's be honest. We would just like to be able to walk into Canaan land and have all this enjoyment of the milk and the honey and the glorious fruit without lifting a finger to fight, without having to call upon 1 ounce of courage. Just give us the blessings, Lord. And it doesn't work that way. We find it easier, do we not, to stay in our safe little corners. But that's not where we're supposed to live, in our safe little corners. I came across a remark of W.G.T. Shedd. If you don't know Shedd, he's one of the great Southern Presbyterian divines, tremendous theologian. He said, a ship is safe in harbor, but that's not what ships are for. That's not what ships are for. Ships are for sailing on the seas. No matter how tempestuous the seas may get, they're for sailing on the seas, not for staying in harbor. So we need courage, an attitude, a mindset that will face the difficulty, the danger, and the pain, not run away from it in fear, but deal with it and do what the Lord tells us to do. We need courage. You need it. I need it. Our church needs courage to face the difficulties, the dangers, and the pain. Thirdly, finally, where do we get this courage? Well, it's something you're not going to learn from a textbook on bravery. You don't get it from inspirational stories about courageous heroes and their courageous deeds. From our text this morning, we get it by believing something. Courage comes from believing something. But before looking at what we need to believe in order to obtain courage, I want us to think just for a moment about the fact that courage comes through faith. The just shall live by faith. But let me tell you something else. The courageous shall live by faith. The strong shall live by faith. It's by faith. Let me remind you of what the apostle said in Hebrews 11 about the courage of the Old Testament saints who had not the same light that we have. Listen to this courage. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That was courage on display, brothers and sisters, and it was by faith that they did that. They believed something. What is faith? Dr. Ken Conley, who's now home to be with the Lord, he gave this definition of faith that I've always been enamored with. He said that faith is a life that dares to commit beyond its means, expecting what sense cannot certify, based on God's promise, dependent on God's supply, motivated for God's glory, and confident in God's integrity. How do we do that? How do we get this courage to face the dangers and the difficulties and the pain and not flee away from them in fear? By faith in something that God has promised. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. The answer to my question is very simple and very plain. We obtain courage through knowing and believing that God and his power are present with us always. Know it. There's knowledge for faith. And believe it. His presence and his power are with us always. So much so, he says, I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. Yes, I know you've heard it all before. But the question is, do you believe it? Don't ask if you know it. But do you believe it? Do you believe it when your heart is pounding with fear? Do you believe it when you face a river that seems absolutely uncrossable? And God says, go forward. Do you believe it when everything that you see and smell and taste and touch and hear tells you that all is lost? Do you believe that then? Do you believe it when you stand before a Goliath and the Lord says, slay him? Do you believe it when all human help has disappeared and you are all alone? There's nothing and there's no one to the visible eye. Do you believe it then? I was encouraged and challenged by Spurgeon's morning reading yesterday. I'd already had this message pretty much prepared when I read it. He said this. It's a lengthy, not the whole thing, but just two paragraphs, but they're worth hearing. He said, there is no getting at our God sometimes because of the multitude of our friends. But when a man is so poor, so friendless, so helpless, that he has nowhere else to turn, he flies into his Father's arms and is blessedly clasped therein.
when he is burdened with troubles so pressing and so peculiar that he cannot tell them to any but his God, he may be thankful for them, for he will learn more of his Lord then than at any other time. O tempest-tossed believer, it is a happy trouble that drives thee to thy Father. Now that thou hast only thy God to trust to, see that thou puttest thy full confidence in him. Dishonor not thy Lord and Master by unworthy doubts and fears, but be strong in faith, giving glory to God. Show the world that thy God is worth 10,000 worlds to thee. Show rich men how rich thou art in thy poverty, when the Lord God is thy helper. Show the strong man how strong thou art in thy weakness, when underneath thee are the everlasting arms. Now is the time for feats of faith and valiant exploits. Be strong and very courageous, and the Lord thy God shall certainly, as surely as he built the heavens and the earth, glorify himself in thy weakness and magnify his might in the midst of thy distress. That's the truth, brothers and sisters, we need to take back to our homes and to our prayer closets, to our lives. That's courage. Yes, it is going to be dangerous and difficult and painful to go into greater blessing. Greater blessing for our own souls, greater blessings for our families, greater blessings for our church. It's going to be dangerous. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be painful. But do we expect anything else? Should we expect anything else? Don't you see that when the Lord was telling Israel to be strong and of a good courage and promising them that he will be with them, not fail them or forsake them, that they were going up against difficulties and dangers and pain? Inherent in the promise, there was the assurance of that. Else, why would they need the promise? Why would he give them this bit of knowledge? By simply believing that God is with us, and that God will give us the strength to do what he commands us to do, then we will walk in courage. We won't shrink away in fear from what faces us. Courage. We'll be able to sing with old Luther, although this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. The world? Christ says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The flesh? Who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The devil? John says, he saw the devil was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The triumvirate of evil defeated. And on that day, courage will no longer be needed because there will no longer be any difficulty, any danger, any pain. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So be strong and have a good courage. We've got some serious battles to fight. A lot of them. It's going to take blood, sweat, and tears. And can I tell you, to the degree that we fight the battles courageously,
will be the degree that we enjoy this promised land of blessing. Shrink away in fear? There's a price to pay for that. Courageously go on? We win the blessing. May God write that word upon our hearts for His name's sake and give us all the courage to go into battle. Let's seek the Lord together. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, we come now in Jesus' name at the end of this meeting. The voice of the preacher now silent. We pray that the voice of the Lord will speak on. Give us, Lord, give us that knowledge of Thyself, of Thy presence, of Thy power, and the grace to believe it. Lord, we are Thine. We're in this cause for Thy glory. Deliver us from fear. Cowardice, remove it far from us. But, O Lord, for a brave band of soldiers, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.